There we go. Well, welcome everybody. Happy Friday morning. I hope everybody's had a fantastic week. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast, episode 68. And I have the wonderful JD in the house. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm outstanding, Darren. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And for everybody out there, JD has thrown down a dare. He says, I dare you. One of the keys to sales success is not talking about your product, service, or offering, but understanding your customers' needs. So I love that, JD. I love it.
Nice.
Now, for everybody out there who doesn't know JD, I'll give you a little bit of an introduction, and then we'll jump into some questions and answers. And we're going to be chatting all about the psychology behind selling versus buying. So this is a fantastic topic, and I'm fascinated by this stuff. But JD is the founder of Sales Director Central. At Sales Director Central, they make founders sleep at night by realizing their revenue dreams. He is a sales director for multiple businesses, as well as an in-demand public speaker, consultant, mentor, and coach to thousands of salespeople. So welcome again, JD.
Oh, thanks, Darren. Really, really nice to be here with you. Having thrown down the dare, I now can't talk about my stuff. So I don't know what we're going to talk about for the next 45 minutes.
Right, we'll have to come up with something.
We will.
So now, JD, tell us a bit about you that we don't already know, that I haven't introduced.
So I spent 20 years of my career selling software predominantly, obviously in the IT industry.
Right.
Fantastic bed of learning, Darren, because for the bulk of it, when you're selling software to businesses, you get to find out about business.
Yep.
And so, I had the real privilege of being able to talk to all sorts of businesses in all sorts of different industries and understand kind of how they tick.
Yep.
And if I look at my sales career, I went from being the person that I now coach people not to be and doing that okay,
yep,
pretty well,
yep,
to thinking the challenge I have that I continually talk to everyone about is how do you improve what you're doing? So I've you talked about Sales Director Central. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Oh, my pleasure.
My business partner and I, every time we have a discussion, the question I continually ask is, how do we do this better? What do we do differently to improve wherever we're at? And I've done that from a sales perspective. So I mentioned to you a moment ago, I was lucky enough to interview Mike Bosworth, who's the author of Solution Selling last week.
Great book. I've read the book years and years ago. Fantastic book.
Yeah. He was my second sales methodology. I wanted to say he was my first on the call, but he was my second one. And he called himself the sales philosopher. And I really like that tag, because it's how I think about selling. It's, I've had the luxury of the last 16 years in my other business to see hundreds and thousands of sales teams and sales individuals, and just challenge everything they do.
Yeah.
Really, why do you write a proposal?
Yeah.
What a great question. What is a proposal? Why do you write one?
Why do you write a proposal? Why do you even want to enter sometimes into that method of competition in a way?
Right. So there's only one reason why you write a proposal. And that's because the customer can't buy without it.
There you go. Yep.
So what should be in the proposal? Whatever the customer needs to buy.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah, that's kind of an example of, why do we do a presentation? I do, we're getting a little off where we were going to go with the dare, but I do a lot of win-loss reports with my customers.
Yep.
Where I ring someone up and we've either won the business, my customer's either won the business or lost the business. I'm ringing the prospect up. And there's a question I'm fascinated with, which is when you did the presentations, when you looked at the four, five, six companies, the three on the short, whatever it is, did all the presentations look the same? It's a bit of a leading question.
Right.
And the predominant answer is, yeah, they did.
Wow.
They They predominant, yes, there's different features, functionality, there's different differences in it, but you can throw a blanket over most things. I spoke to a CEO recently who told me that the reason they bought the company, the software they did, was these guys listened to them and they repeated it back.
Oh, that was there you go. And
that's I don't,
absolutely. And I work with another, and I know, and I work with, and I've had the honor of having him on my podcast twice. Lovely guy called Steve Jensen, Steve Dr. J. Jensen. He's a fantastic sales trainer. And that's one of the things he religiously says. When you communicate, you have to actively listen, repeat back what you just heard, so the customer knows that you've actually been listening to them. It's such a powerful message.
There's often, you know, I get to speak to all sorts of salespeople. And when I'm talking to someone, particularly in what we call a discovery phase, right? The first time when you're meeting a customer and you're understanding their needs and requirements and trying to figure out where they're going to buy or not. I'm always fascinated by the salespeople who decide not to take notes because they can remember it all.
Yeah.
And again, it's not down the path that we talked about, but you know, I often say to them, I'm not sure what mark you got in your HSC, VC, whatever you did, but doctors get really high marks. They're super clever people.
Yep.
Why do doctors write down your stuff when you're talking to them?
Exactly, because it shows you that they're listening.
100%. That's exactly what it is.
And it's kind of saying,
what you're saying to a customer is, what you said is important. I want to take a note of it.
Absolutely.
And there's a whole bunch of psychology around that.
Absolutely. So, and that kind of brings us beautifully into, you know, where we want to go with this episode, in that I want to unpack the difference in psychology behind buying and selling.
Right.
So maybe give us your little, you know, philosophy or your take on the difference from a psychological point of view, and then we'll unpack how to actually go about selling better.
If you think from a sales perspective, no one in Australia goes to university to do a sales course. There's no training other than getting trained or having sales training in a methodology and a process, whatever that is.
Yep.
99% of people actually learn by osmosis in selling and cold calling and all the other things.
Definitely, yep.
So the processes that underline that are typically the good and bad behaviors that are in and around you.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And a lot of people in the past, I mean, over the years, people have always used that phrase, you're a natural born salesman because you can talk. But it's actually the opposite, isn't it?
That's exactly spot on. Selling is not about talking. When we interview salespeople, I'm interested in their questions, not what they're saying.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because years and years ago, I also heard an expression that said, using intelligent questions is one of the best ways to build trust. And I think that's so important. Yep.
I actually remove intelligent, call them insightful questions.
Oh, I love it.
So this is a deceptively simple concept.
Yeah.
But if you want to be the best of the best, great salespeople ask a question which creates insight. So a customer learns something or changes the way they think about their problem.
Love it.
And then the response to an insightful question is the customer typically says, I haven't thought about that, or that's a good question.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
So in that moment, you're a thought leader. If you do that four times during a sales call,
yep.
Doesn't matter about your product. Yeah, we often talk to founders and say, stop talking about your mousetrap. No one cares about what the thing is that you've created. I dare you. The thing you've created, no one wants to buy your thing.
Exactly.
Your mousetrap. What they do want to do is solve a problem.
That's right.
And the quicker you understand what the problem is, how big it is, do they have to solve it? If they don't solve it, what happens? The quicker we understand that, the quicker we can understand whether there's going to be an opportunity or not.
That's right. And it might not even be, you know, you might not even identify a problem that is solved best by your solution. You might just refer them to another solution, but you will still have earned incredible respect. And down the track, that will come back to you in some way.
I had a prospect call maybe 2 weeks ago with a guy. We got a meeting with this guy. We offer a money back guarantee, which is very alluring to a lot of people. Yeah. And the person who got the meeting is great at having a phone conversation with someone and making them want to meet us. So that's all good.
Yep.
And I was talking to him and I said, is there anything that's going to block you achieving your objectives and targets for the next 12 months?
Yep.
And he said, no, there isn't.
There you go.
And I'm like, well, where do we go now?
What do I do me. Now? There's nothing to say.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to say it a little differently. There's nothing for them to buy.
True. I like that. Yep.
So, yeah, we talked about selling and buying before. One of the things I often talk to groups about is stop tracking the sales process because that's irrelevant. Whether you've done a presentation or done the proposal we talked about before or not,
yep.
It doesn't matter. How is a customer going to buy and what is that buying cycle or evaluation cycle in Mike Bosworth's book, Solution Selling? What does that evaluation cycle look like? How do we map ourselves to that?
Yep.
So if you think about 99.9% of CRMs has a 7, 8, 12, 5-step sales process, which identify what we're doing.
Gotcha. Yep.
Love our product, our company, it really doesn't matter.
Yep.
And if I think about the best of the best people I've met in my life, and I think about Mike Bosworth talks about the 80% of people, so not the top 20%, but the 80%.
Yep.
The 80% in his mind, they know how much someone's going to buy, what the product is and what the price is.
Right, exactly.
What all about us. What they don't know or don't have a good handle on is who's going to buy, what is the problem, and what happens if they do nothing in the next 12 months.
Yep.
So that's the buying cycle and sales cycle right there. If we understand more about the buying cycle and that process, we're just going to...
Exactly.
We're just going to get better. In fact, let me ask you a trick question.
Go for it.
What's the only thing we measure in sales?
When we measure, are you asking what do we generally measure or what we should measure?
What we generally measure. Let's go with that.
Generally measure is sales results, is revenue.
Sales results. Yeah. Sales results. So I'll challenge that. I don't believe it's sales results. I think it's time.
Yeah.
In sales, we measure time. If you spend more time with people that have to buy,
yep.
You'll make your number, you make your target.
Love it.
If you spend more time with people who might buy, you probably won't make your number.
Wow. And I tell you, I studied sales heavily over the years. And one of my favorite mentors from a sales training point of view is a guy in America called Jeffrey Gitomer. Ever heard of him?
Yes, I know. Yep.
And I've read all his books and I'm totally down with his philosophy. And one of the things I learned is that you really also have to practice engaging and identifying buying signals, because too many salespeople get so used to selling. Sometimes we just need to shut up because the person's already ready to buy and we can overdo it because we're continually flogging our product and features.
I remember going on a sales call, man, this must be 20 years ago,
yep.
maybe 25 years ago. And this guy had 25 slides in his deck.
Yep.
And I'm in the meeting with him. He's a subject matter expert, which is why I've invited him to this opportunity.
Yep.
And about halfway through the deck, the customer was ready to do something.
Yep.
And I'm going to say it was buy. And Steve hadn't finished the slides.
Yep.
So we went from a buying mode to boring mode, super quick.
To get me out of the office mode. Yeah,
he killed it. He completely killed the thing.
Yep, so true. And Jeffrey, in his book or in one of his presentations, he actually tells a story about him sitting in a cafe. I think in a restaurant or a cafe, listening to a process like this, and then it was so unbearable that he just had to go up to the salesperson and say, "Mate, stop. He's ready to buy.
Right.
Shut up."
Fascinating. I've got the luxury. I go to cafes a lot. Meet a lot of customers in cafes, and sometimes if I'm not working with a client, I'll just sit in a cafe because I get energy from people.
Yeah.
And you can see a million miles away that job interview.
Yeah.
You know, you can see that, and that's a sale of a different sort, right? But you can see it. Like you can just the questions, the structure, the style, their body language.
Yeah.
And I love seeing all that stuff. I love that process of engaging with someone. Selling is fundamentally communicating.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. I think that's so true. Selling is communicating, and so much of communication is actually nonverbal.
Right. That's 100%.
Yeah. So it's fascinating just to observe the world around you, because at the end of the day, We're all selling something. We're all trying to influence some kind of agenda. We all have something that we're trying to achieve. And it's fascinating just to watch how that pans out.
I've been really fascinated in the last 3 to 4 months how my, so you mentioned before, I'm a sales director for a number of organizations. Yeah. So on a weekly basis, I run six different sales meetings, including ours.
Yeah.
And the way that some have embraced this thing that we're in right now, this isolation,
yeah,
and the way that some have had it as a massive obstacle, yeah, fascinates me. I've got some clients saying, we just need to get back. We just need to have everyone in the office, you know, managing this is too hard and tough and all that sort of stuff. And others saying, this is just, you know, for me, this is kind of cool. I don't have to drive anywhere. Yeah. I don't have to park. I don't have to buy lunch in the city. You know, I don't have to invest all that time. You know, before our chat, you know, 10 minutes ago, I was doing something else in a different part of the house. You know, I don't have to.
Absolutely.
You know, all that sort of stuff. So,
if you understand the psychology of sales and the methodology of sales, all this is a change in communication method. Nothing else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's fantastic. So, I mean, what would be, you know, in your opinion, and how do you teach the real way or the most effective way to sell? You know, right, after a conversation that we've just had,
I often get asked the question, if we get a brand new sales team, what are the things that we need to do?
Yep.
And I want to accept my own dare and not talk about my mousetrap. Right. So I'm going to try and avoid talking about some of those things. But
fair enough.
I think if you're new to selling, I'm going to challenge you to be business curious.
Okay.
The people that do really well, really, really well. I've done work with a guy, Microsoft and Infor are somewhat competitors in some different markets. He took an $18 million order out of Microsoft.
Yeah.
And was told to leave a room because he was a competitor.
Wow.
The really good guys understand business cadence, and they've got a curiosity around why you're doing, Mr. Prospect, what you're doing right now.
Gotcha.
And challenging that. The Challenge of Sale was a great book that came out 5 or 6 years ago. And so if I'm new to selling, I want to start just asking loads of questions, being that really,
yeah,
interestingly curious person. And I'm going to come back to the dare.
Okay.
If my career, I started out, like I said, I started out doing the dog and pony show, doing the demonstration. Yeah. I used to talk to my boss about playing the piano. You know, when you hit the right note,
yep,
you know, and they sing along, you know, it was a beautiful thing. Doing product demonstrations all day is boring. Like, you're doing exactly the same thing.
You might as well just go in and press play.
Exactly.
Right, boring as hell.
When I look at proposals, we talked about proposals before. I love looking at a proposal with an organization when I'm doing a review.
Yep.
And I'll challenge the sales director or the business owner saying, how much of the document is about us and how much is it about them?
Yeah.
Because if it's all about us, you've missed the point.
That's right.
Completely missed the point.
Definitely. I like that. So simple.
If it's all about them, then, you know, the doctor and the taking the notes, we've understood. And the question is, yeah, I'll tell a story of a lady I met in a hotel in Sydney, I'm going to say 8 or 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I met this lady. She'd been introduced to me halfway through the sales call. She turns to me and says, JD, can you come to my sales meeting next Wednesday? And I said, yeah, absolutely, Maureen, not a problem. And then right at the end, she says, can you write me a proposal? And I said to her, you know, thank you for that. Besides yourself, who else is making a decision? Who else are you going to talk to about this?
Nice.
And she says, no, just me.
Yeah.
So I'm not
the proposal.
Writing, yeah. Right, exactly. I'm not writing the document for your partner, life, business. You know, you're not writing for someone else. I'm writing for you.
Yep.
So I then say to her, what do you want me to write in the proposal?
Yep. What do you need? Yep.
And she got a little, she didn't know how to respond to that. So we're playing this really interesting dance, haven't been engaged yet. She says, I don't know, what do you need to go ahead? And I said, well, I need you to pay my bill. And she said, why don't you send me an invoice?
That was that.
And it's a cute story. And it was a sub $10,000 deal.
Yep.
Ended up working with them for a period of time. But again, the whole point is, why do we do anything in selling? Why do we do presentations? Why do we do
this dance? But right. We're not thinking about the psychology and the reason behind it. We're just doing this robotically.
Exactly.
When you can actually, as you said, a perfect example, you can actually bypass this whole dance and get straight to the point and get straight to the result in a very different way if you want to, if you think laterally enough.
I've got a guy I've been working with for maybe 3 or 4 years. I've known him so I worked with Sam in another business,
right.
And he's gone to his current employer. And I want to say it was in our second or third session where we started talking about the way, I hate the term, the way he goes about it. I started talking about how he engaged with the customer and what that looked like.
Yep.
And he said to me, JD, when I sit down with a customer, I know the four things they've got a problem with.
Right. Yep.
So I just get straight to the four things.
Yep.
And Houston, we got a problem because you're telling the customer stuff now.
Yeah.
We're not engaging. We're not understanding. We're not understanding their view of what that looks like. So the fact that we know that is awesome because it means that we can structure our questions to suit that.
Exactly. Yep.
And so again, Sam's gone from selling isn't telling. It's about asking insightful questions. So he's gone from telling and selling to understanding and buying.
Yep.
And he is a gun in that organization.
And perfect. And I think a great way to kind of finish that off would be to say, if you structure your sales process, or I'm not even going to call it a sales process, I'll call it a information gathering process and an engagement process. If you do that properly, the sale will almost take care of itself. You won't even have to ask for it.
I grew up on a sales diet of Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins.
Yeah, I know them.
You know, and two of a number of great, some of the greats where you had a tape in the car, right? Where you put Zig Ziglar on, listen to his tape as you drove to Parramatta to do a sales call, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Really good stuff. But I think the days of objection handling and closing, in my mind, is behind us. It's really understanding, engaging the customer, understand why they have to buy, mapping that process out, and then keeping them accountable to their evaluation cycle.
Yeah.
And the more you do that, you'll just sell more straight
out. Like for me, it's about if you can establish that connection, that trust, that credibility strongly enough, then they will buy from you. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, is the difference between you selling and they buying. Because at the moment, everybody's bombarded with messages. We're all being absolutely inundated with, Skype calls, LinkedIn messages, posts, email marketing, SMS marketing, doesn't end. We just want to know where we want to buy our product from when we're ready.
Completely. One of the things we do, we talk to founders and business owners of companies that between $1 and $20 million that want to scale their business.
Yep.
And we go through a thing called the pain chain, which is also a term from Mike Bosworth. Now I think about it, but it's here are the seven things. If you've hired and fired a salesperson, that's good for me because it's terrible for you because you're wasting money, but that and there's a variety of things. Deals slip every month, you can't trust your pipeline, etc. By the time I've gone through that, if you tick most of those boxes, and I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but you need us more than we need you.
That's right.
And if you don't want to buy, that's fine.
Yep.
Right? But if you do, we're here and we got a money back guarantee with the stuff that we do. So if we get to that point, I'm not gonna close you. I'm not gonna, so I'll say to people, you buy when you're ready.
Yep.
Wanna understand what that looks like, and I wanna manage to that, just buy when you're ready.
Yep. I love it. I love it. So true. And now you mentioned scaling, and I know that you're quite passionate about that. So what do you think are the challenges for any business to scale these days? Is it just sales results, or you know, what you call sales time, or is it something else?
Yeah, the time. Yeah, there's a thing when we talk to founders, most of the time when we're in the smaller technology style businesses and others, not just technology, someone can sell it in the business.
Right.
The founder can normally sell their baby. Yeah. They can, because they understand the mousetrap.
Yep.
And one of the things we tell people to do is stop talking about your product because no one wants to hear about it. It's kind of part of another version of the dare.
Yep.
Start talking about your passion again.
Yep.
Because the passion is what people are trying to solve.
That's
so
right.
You're getting to the hub of what the problem is, not, we've got this in three different colors and it's fantastic and here we go. And how many do you want to buy?
Exactly.
No, forget about it. So if we can get a founder to start looking at understanding the passion and why people are buying,
yep,
and reshape it so that they're not focusing too much on, hey, let me show you another demonstration. Most founders have this, it's almost a victim mentality. There's a, I need to prove myself to everyone because no one's ever seen my thing.
Yeah.
And exactly. If you don't see my thing.
Yep.
And so what we try and do is say, okay, stop talking about the thing. Craft a series of questions and insightful questions, dare I say, that facilitate a better conversation around, hey, do you really have enough pain on it? Because if you're not in intensive care, we can't help. There's nothing you're going to buy.
Yep. Absolutely. And so do you think that the founders have to instill this psychology and passion into their sales team to really be able to perform so they can scale? Is that where the psychology is?
Most of the founders that we talked to, we talked about hired and fired. Most people think that finding a salesperson is as easy as putting an ad on one of the platforms, Seek, LinkedIn, name it, hire them. But most people hire someone and leave them to fail.
Right.
So, they understand technology. They understand the thing that they do. They're practitioners in that.
Yep.
What they don't understand is the framework and the processes required to understand a customer, a sales methodology, why they're going to buy, all the things that we've been talking about on this call. So,
and then therefore they can't train salespeople.
Right. Because, why can't you just do what I did? Yep. Didn't you close that? We did that demo weeks ago. Why haven't you got that across the line? So there's this inbuilt process because you're a founder. I love it when founders say to me, JD, I don't like selling and I can't sell. I'm like, okay, just remind me how much revenue you're doing in the business again.
Where do you think that's coming from?
Yeah, exactly. And then the growth that we get, I've got one particular guy that we've been doing work with for 4 years. I think we've increased between 30 to 40% year on year.
Wow.
He's dramatically changed. Or he would flip a laptop 10 to 15 minutes into a presentation, and now we're not.
Great. Fantastic.
Which is great. But there's a learning to that, right? Because, again, if you think about the organics or the maturation of a salesperson,
yep,
you're hearing what you're seeing. You're then facilitating good and bad behaviors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and agree. And sales methodology is continually changing. Tactics are changing because we have to adapt, like you just mentioned, in terms of periods like these. So we have to keep learning and keep challenging ourselves to make sure we're selling in the right way for the current environment as well.
So let me ask you another question. Do you think selling's changed in the last 20 years?
I'm going to answer that by saying I think the psychology hasn't changed, or the buying psychology hasn't changed, but maybe our behavior in terms of how we sell might have changed.
Yeah, I fundamentally believe that the process of understanding if someone's got enough pain or challenges or issues, that hasn't changed.
No, I agree with that. Yep.
How they buy has changed. Mm-hmm. So, I tell the story 20 years ago, I was working at a company and I had a $50,000 sign off as a general manager of this particular business.
Yep.
Now the same business, it's been bought and sold, but the same business, the same role in the same business is like a $5,000 sign off.
Right.
So yeah. there's a lot more, you know, procurement has become prevalent. You know, there's a stat, I want to say it's LinkedIn. I may have that organization wrong. You know, 57% of the buying cycle happens before they connect, they contact you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally agree with you.
The customer's over halfway of learning about you before they reach out to you.
Absolutely.
There's so much more information on the internet.
Absolutely. And that's why I even say nowadays business cards are irrelevant. Who needs a business card anymore?
Right.
Everybody already knows you before you walk in the door.
Right. So if you're talking about product, right, coming back to the idea, if you're talking about product, or if you're talking about anything in their first 57%, all you're doing is validating stuff they've already found
exactly.
out.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Just waste of time and frustration.
How do we help them with the last mile? How do we help them make that final buying process? How do we help them with the business case? How do we help them drive that piece?
Love it.
Because if we do that, we'll sell really well. And people will buy lots of stuff from us.
Absolutely. And now I always love to ask my guests to give us one example or a case study of some kind to really illustrate this process. So maybe can you share an example or a case study, obviously keep confidential, but just in terms of how the process might have worked or any challenges that might have been there until you changed the way a salesperson thought and then everything just ran smoothly. Just curious if you have anything like that.
There's a really recent one. I mean, and there's a bunch of examples that pop into mind, but there's a really recent one, which I love. It's a company that we started working with around about a year ago, maybe a little over, maybe 13 months ago.
Yep.
It's a business in which the founders were marched out of businesses because people started saying their baby was ugly, the mousetrap didn't work.
Wow.
And they really didn't like that and couldn't deal with you challenging the mousetrap. Anyway.
Gotcha.
There's a presentation looming from a very large government agency in Canberra.
Right.
And so my business partner was doing work with them. And they said, we're just going to go down and we're going to do a presentation. So it's an organization that had already bought some stuff from them. So there's already an engagement. They're being through procurement, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And they said, we're about to go down and do a presentation. And he said, let's not do a presentation. How about we do this? How about we send them a statement of work and see what happens?
I love it.
And within a week, they came back with a signed statement of work.
Ah, fantastic. I love it.
They've gone from that process of, I want to show it, I need to show it, I have to show it. Once I show it, you're going to go, mate.
Yep.
And we hear it a lot from founders, right? If only they knew we were here. Well, no, because if they knew you were there, you're going to bash them over a head with a product that they don't want to buy.
That's right. I love it.
And that's a great story, right? So
absolutely, I love it. I think I just love the fact that it's a perfect example of thinking laterally and thinking unconventionally. And this applies to anybody and anything in life as well. We don't always have to just do what everybody else has always done. Why do we have to do that? We have to challenge conformity. And if there's a better way to do something, go for it.
How do we, what do you need to do in order to buy? Or what do you need to do in order to whatever it is?
Yeah. Right? Everybody's different.
Absolutely. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
So,
fantastic.
There's a, and it's they were stunned as much, because it's like, wow, that really worked.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, it's like, that's, you know, that, tell me about more of this trickery thing. It's not, it's common sense. Understanding business drivers and what you do. Now, if the answer to that was, hey, we'd love to see it. Yeah, sure. We've already got that demo done, right? We've done that 20 times.
Yeah, exactly. I could just imagine walking into the presentation saying, guys, we've decided to change tack. We've got a presentation here. We're not going to bother doing it. Here's a statement of work. Are you comfortable? Yeah, let's go ahead. Oh, that's fantastic.
If you think about, the people watching this presentation, watching this podcast, how many people just follow the dots? They just go through.
That's right.
Change the logo on the slide set.
Yep.
And think that that's a really good way of doing it. One of the biggest challenges with salespeople is they rarely challenge what they did. So if you've done something and it's proved successful, you're going to rinse, repeat.
Definitely.
And unless you've got the mindset of challenging that, you're just going to keep doing the good and bad behaviors the entire time.
Yep, your whole career, you know, and we have to keep adapting. We have to, because, you know, the buyer's psychology is getting more sophisticated. Buyers can sniff out a salesperson much faster. We can sniff out, you know, someone that's not credible, someone that doesn't really care about us within the heartbeat. So, you know, that's what's changed. So I suppose maybe the methodology hasn't changed, but, you know, certain nuances in how we execute need to continually be adapted to.
There's a really interesting view. I was talking with Mike Bosworth about this. You know, 20 and 30 years ago, I started my sales career 40 years ago.
Wow.
And the process from an IT perspective back in the day, you're really educating the buyer because they didn't really, the internet wasn't prevalent. There's a lot of what you were doing was saying, hey, here it is. And buyers wanted the education.
Yep.
So you could get a meeting with someone because that's how they learnt stuff.
Exactly. Yep. I agree.
There's just too many avenues to do that now. You can become, you know, I've got a theory that you could almost become a chef. If you watched all the chef shows on television, exactly. I wonder whether you could kind of get through, you know, all of the requirements of actually, you know, getting the white hat.
I like it. And that's really interesting because marketing nowadays has also changed. And marketing is about giving people information, giving them value, giving them the tools they need for free, building credibility and trust in the process. And when they're ready, they'll buy from you. So in a way, sales and marketing are starting to blend.
Hopefully a bit better.
Yeah, in that way.
We talked before about the pain chain, understanding the problems in a business. I can't tell you how many times we look at a big new business's website and it's all about the mousetrap. It's all about the thing that they've done.
Definitely.
And the challenge is you're not going to find many new prospect talking about your mousetrap.
That's right. Yep. And there's a great, I can't think of his name offhand. Anyway, this American marketing guru, his name's Marcus Sheridan, fantastic guy and very strong marketer, very strong digital marketer. And very big into video. And he always says, in part of his presentations, he brings up a couple of websites of different customers. And he says, I love the way these guys have put their website together. Look at the copy. Everything is about the customer. You. There's nothing about what we do. And that, it's so powerful, so true.
And so rare, unfortunately.
So rare. Yep.
It is so rare, right? 90% of the time, it's money for jam when we get engaged, right?
Yep.
I know your website's terrible.
Yep.
I know you don't have a sales methodology. I know you don't have a structured way of looking at customer data.
Yep.
I know that you're not rigorously looking at how you sell and challenging that process.
Yep.
So all we need to do, this is easy. I've just given you the keys to the castle, mate.
Love it.
All we need to do is understand that, implement that stuff.
Yep.
Hopefully, you know, I said to someone the other day, they're looking at engaging. And I said, you know, if you were in sales for 40 years, you'll probably know what I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you afford to wait 40 years?
Yeah.
Or do you want to have it today?
Yeah, absolutely. What's your view on video? Because Marcus Sheridan is really big on using video as part of your sales process.
Right.
What's your view on video, you know, using video in the sales presentations or as part of the process in some way?
Yeah, no, I think challenging the process is one of the things that I do. I'm going to give a secret away. One of the things I do when I do a speaking gig.
Yep.
So I did a talk almost this time last week,
right,
to a new organization that I hadn't met before.
Okay.
And then that day, I did a video standing in my backyard saying, hey guys, thanks for inviting me to your event. Here are the key takeaways and here's the offer that I made during the talk.
Love it.
Put it on YouTube, sent it to people. I mean, it's just,
and then
three weeks later, hey, what's all the stuff that you said you were going to do?
Yep.
How have you gone with it? Like just checking in. I mean, there's so many ways of engaging and interacting with people
yep.
that aren't, you know, the old four-legged sales call, right? You get your pre-sale guy in IT, you go and meet them and do that. There's so many ways of facilitating. I've got a client that does everything video.
Wow.
So his proposals are video.
Right, and they're personalized every time.
Completely. Yeah. Hey, Darren, we had a great meeting. Really love the fact you've done these three things in your business.
Yep.
Here's the stuff that we talked about in terms of the growth and things you need to be doing differently. It's a video.
Awesome. I think it's fantastic.
There's another client I've got at the moment. They create killer content for for learning management systems. And one of the things I said to him is, why don't you do more of your own stuff for your customers?
Yeah.
So why don't you, you know, another business does webinars. Mm-hmm. Why don't you deliver everything as a webinar? Why do you have to put it on paper? You know, why do you have to do that? Why don't you do everything? Why don't you deliver everything as a podcast?
Yeah, like show your expertise at the same
time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And show them that's our process. Now, everything we do looks like the thing that we do because we're an expert at what we do.
And then it sells itself.
And then people buy from it.
Yep. I love it. So really, I mean, to come back to your challenge and your dare at the beginning is really just to get people to think about the sales process and the sales psychology and the buying psychology in a different way. Try and think about what your customer needs, what your customer wants, not just go down the trap of pressing, you know, click, play, or rinse, repeat, and do the same presentation over and over again. Think about how you can really spark trust, credibility, and build that relationship and environment so they'll buy from you.
Right. There's an interview I did about a month ago at LinkedIn Live. And one of the things that occurred to me is that most people, when they have a new salesperson, have an induction program, which is all the wrong stuff. It's all about, here's the product, here's how it works, here's how to demonstrate it, all that stuff.
The way we do it,
Exactly, right? let me set you up with a whole bunch of poor behaviors that will facilitate your sales career with us.
Yes.
I think an induction program is actually the time you get to spend with prospects.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's gold. I love that.
In fact, we're hiring someone for a client, for one of my customers right now.
That's great.
And one of the things we've said is, how do we get this? It's going to be lady for this particular role. I said, how do we get her at our desk at two or three clients for the first month?
Love
and
it.
just understand the cadence, the process, what happens, the meetings.
Yeah. Understand the market. Understand what, you know, what people are saying. Right. All that kind of stuff.
So if you think about an induction program, really is fun. If you don't see many prospects in your first 2 to 3 months, that's your induction, really.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're doing your thinking. That's when you're in front of the customer and they say, hey, does it come in blue and all that sort of stuff. That's when you're doing the thing. Yeah. If you had 20 meetings in that same period of time, your induction would be so different. Your pipeline would be different. Everything would look differently.
Fantastic. Well, JD, that's been absolutely sensational. I mean, we really dive deep into the psychology behind selling and what people should do and what people should, you know, not do and try and get out of the habit of doing. If people want to get in touch with you to find out more about what you do and how you can help them with the sales process and whatnot, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably the easiest way there's two ways of doing it. One is the email is kind of simple. It's jd@salesdirectorcentral.com.
Great.
So salesdirectorcentral.com. Or on LinkedIn, I'm JD the Catalyst with a K.
Love it. All right.
So if you go to either, in fact, if someone from the show was to come back and they wanted half an hour of my time for free.
Awesome.
We could facilitate that if they mention this podcast.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to put those links and details in the show notes for everybody, and everybody out there, take JD up on his challenge. And
please,
you know, you got half an hour of his time and he's got 40 years experience in sales. So you're going to learn something. But JD, once again, really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been absolutely a sensational conversation. And I always like to ask my guest at the end to leave us with one or two tips. You know, what would you say to salespeople today, right now, they can start implementing straight away, and that's going to change their sales behavior right after this call?
The one thing I would say is, do you understand if your customer decides, if your prospect decides not to buy, do you understand the impact on their business? Do you understand the risk they're trying to mitigate?
Nice.
So just understand that. Just go back. Most of the time we understand, like I said before, we understand what they're buying, how much, what the price is. What we don't understand is why they have to buy, what the business risk is if they were to do nothing.
Yeah, the risk is if they don't buy. Yep.
If you don't buy, just go back to the customer and says, I'm not sure I've got the risk sorted. One of the things that we talk when we're doing deal reviews with our clients, one of the things that I love getting across is, I'm not interested in what you think, you know, I'm interested in what the customer's told you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So let's not assume they have to buy because blah, blah, blah. Yep. Go back, ask the customer, because this is all about the customer.
Definitely.
It should be called, I was going to try and come up with a really clever thing on my feet, but it shouldn't be called selling. It should be called customer understanding or something like that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And as we said before, questions are your most powerful tools.
100%. That's it. That selling is all about, having a conversation. Yeah. Marketing is all about having a conversation.
Yep,
stop selling them stuff, start a conversation.
I love it. I think it's absolutely fascinating. I could go on forever. But JD, really appreciate you coming in on the show. It's been an amazing podcast episode. And, you know, I'm sure that everybody got lots and lots out of that. So thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. And for everybody out there, have a fantastic rest of the Friday. Fantastic weekend. And we'll be back on Monday for another episode. And bye for now.